Do it again. Do it again.
Oh, oh, oh. Come on, son.
Welcome to the Guillotine Podcast.
I'm Steven.
I'm Kayla.
So on today's episode, we will be reviewing the James Franco John Leguizamo juiciness from Alina of Cuba. And then we'll also be doing a movie review. And then we'll also be doing some sexy time reviews. But to start off the episode, we are going to do Kayla's 1 minute and then we'll do Steven's 1 minute. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, on my 1 minute, tell me why my 30-year-old ass really tried to make a TikTok while cleaning the bathroom. And if you saw my Instagram story, you saw that I busted my ass, but you didn't know why. So.
You shared it?
No, I shared a photo of my boo-booed arm.
Oh.
Yeah, yes, but some people did get a juicy video because I got it on a juicy video because my dumbass tried to do a TikTok while cleaning the bathroom. And so what actually happened was I sprayed wood polisher on the doors and I did not know it was on the floor. And I took a step and I about split my shit open.
You barely took a step.
Yeah, barely. But I was cleaning the bathroom and Steven was in the other bathroom and he heard the fall and believed it was not me falling. But indeed, I was. You bet your ass. I crawled out of the bathroom. In pain, because my arm, I have a, my bruise is getting, like, bigger. Like, can you see it?
It looks like a shape of a heart.
Yeah, like, it hurts. It hurts to put my arm on, like,
anything. Do you see it?
Oh, yeah. Okay, but that's my 1 minute.
It's shaped like a heart.
Okay, well, that's my 1 minute. Okay. So, yeah, hold on. Okay, so, yeah, the bruise does look like a heart.
I drew it.
Okay. Yeah, that was good. That was. I'm pretty sure that was the corner of the fucking counter that got me really good.
Kissed you.
Yeah, but if you guys are interested, I'll share the video. We'll see. 50 we'll see.
Likes? Cause,
yeah, because it's fucking embarrassing. It's fucking embarrassing. Like as soon as I hit the floor, like my money don't jiggle. It folded hard.
It falls. Yeah. Doesn't fold. It just fell. Well, you did fold.
Yeah, you did. Like, you saw the whiplash, like, from my neck. Like, ugh. Yes. So that was my 1 minute. I hope you guys enjoyed. Okay, and now it is Steven's 1 minute.
Okay. This one, my 1 minute, I wish it was a funny one. I wish it was a happy one or a random weird thing. But over the weekend, Sunday... we lost a legend in the jiu-jitsu community. Leandro Lowe passed away Sunday. He was an 8-time world champion. He recently won worlds this year, and he was trying to make it. I think he's trying to be the one with the most medals because he was the last of the, like, kind of like the last of the old school, kind of bringing in the new school of practitioners. And, that was not a fun thing to wake up to, Sunday morning. I woke up at like 6 a.m. just, you know, you grab your phone and you just look at Instagram. And the first thing was Leandro Lowe. And just passed away. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I've watched this man since I ever started jiu-jitsu. Like, I've always wanted to play his guard game. I saw him at Pan Am's 2013.
Did you ever get a chance to meet him in real life?
No. That would have been...
Was that a dream?
It was a little bit. Like, because his guard game is crazy. And so what ended up happening, what we've heard, was it was an off-duty cop mouthing bad words to Leandro or trying to take a bottle from him. And Leandro disarmed him, right? And then the guy just literally turned around, pulled out a gun, and right one to the forehead.
Executed him?
Yeah, well, I read an article that he actually survived, but he ended up... Succumbing to the injury, and then became brain dead. And then I saw a video of a bunch of people at the police station in Brazil, like, yelling, "Assassino! Assassino!" Like, just mad because they...
Can you translate that?
Like, basically calling a murderer an assassin, just calling him a murderer. And so, like, it's...
Yeah, and
it was rough.
Yeah, we did see on the fight yesterday that a lot of people pay tribute to Leandro.
Yeah, so Leandro Lowe, he has a thing when he, before he gets on the mat, he usually jumps like really high and slams the mat, and then he goes in. That's one. And another one he does is he, you know, in jiu-jitsu, if you do jiu-jitsu, you know, you slap, bump hands. So once that happens, Leandro backs up, spreads his arms out, and he does a circle around you. And that was just like his thing. So last night's Who's Number One, a lot of the jiu-jitsu guys were imitating his movements, and people were, you know, clapping and stuff. So it took a shine out of the big match that was Gordon and Felipe Pena. So I figured that was going to happen, and it sucked because everyone was wanting to see that match of Gordon Ryan and Felipe Pena. And Felipe Pena is very good friends with Leandro Lowe, like best of friends.
Yeah.
And so he was in his right mindset. And he ended up quitting after 45 minutes in the match. And he was just like, I'm not in the right headspace for this.
Do you think it was a fair match? Side note.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. Both were playing conservative.
Do you think that Gordon accepted that win because Felipe gave up?
I mean, it in technicality, you give up, you're taking an L. But there is a rematch. There is a rematch set up for them, and then they may see each other again. Sorry, I know this is going over 4 minutes or it's whatever, but they will see again in ADCC. But yeah, that should have been my 1 minute, but it was rest in peace to Leandro Lowe. And
completely understandable.
Hope is his family can get through this. My love and hearts to them because he is a legend.
Is there like a Jiu-Jitsu Hall of Fame?
Yeah, there is. There is an IBJJF Hall of Fame. I think he's in it. Oh, I think he's already in it. If not, he's going to be in, obviously, the next one. But yeah.
Okay, so anyway. That was Steven's five minutes.
Sorry.
But completely understandable. But on a lighter note, we are also going to start introducing Word of the Day so that you guys can learn a thing or two. So if you know me, I'm from Guam. We speak Chamorro and English, and Steven, he speaks Spanish. So we're basically going to be giving you guys the same word, just one in Chamorro and one in Spanish. You want to go first on this, or you want me to go first? How do you say hello in Spanish?
I'm not going to say hello. Everyone knows hello in Spanish.
Oh, I thought that's the word we agreed on.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then, okay.
Jue puta.
Okay, and can you translate that?
Motherfucker.
Nice.
Jue puta.
Jue puta.
Don't.
I always do that to Steven.
Don't do that.
Which way is the puta? I'm kidding. Okay. Four. Say it one more time, nice and slow for our listeners. Whisper it in their ear.
Jue puta.
I fucking hate it. That's good. Okay.
Motherfucker.
Okay. So in Chamorro, how to say hello is half a day. And no, it is not half a day.
Or as my best friend Lucas likes to say, half a day, half a night.
Yeah.
That's how he says good night.
But yeah, so half a day means hi. That's what it means. It means hi. Okay, so now we get into our main topic of John Leguizamo.
Fun, been wanting to get into this one.
Franco, yes. Steven and I have been discussing this off podcast because it was just so juicy, and there's a lot of opinions floating around on online. Okay, so I'm going to read a quick title. So this is from NBC News. John Leguizamo slams James Franco's casting as Fidel Castro. Quote, "He ain't Latino. How is this still going on?" Leguizamo often advocates for Latino representation in Hollywood. So, if you didn't know, Alina of Cuba is directed by Miguel Bardem from Oscar-nominated scribe Jose Rivera's The Motorcycle Diaries and Pulitzer Prize winner Nilo Cruz. Any relation? Nilo Cruz, yeah. About Cuban exile turned social advocate Alina Fernandez, aka Castro's daughter, whose birth was the result of a passionate affair between the communist revolutionary leader and Natalia, don't kill me on this last name, Revuelta? No, oh my, I'm adding like letters. Revuelta? Mia Maestro will play Revuelta, while Anna Villafañe plays Castro's daughter, Fernandez. So, going from there, who is Fidel?
So,
what did you learn about Fidel? Because, like, I can read you what the Google search gave me.
Well, a little background, I guess. I'm half Colombian, half Cuban. Cuban on my dad's side, Colombian on my mom's side. And what I learned about Fidel Castro, my grandpa never really talked about him too much. Really, like, genuinely hated him. So, wasn't a topic that my grandpa really touched on. My grandpa never really talked about that stuff because it's something he'd rather not remember.
Understandable.
But he was a POW in the war against...
I did not know that.
Yeah, against Fidel Castro and...
Papa Amado?
And, yeah, Amado. And he fought against Fidel and Che Guevara. So, there's a lot of differences. He's a communist, obviously. And most revolutionaries are. Che Guevara, the thing with Che Guevara was that Che was a person that wanted good for the people, but power got to his head. And it turned everything upside down. Because he tried doing the same thing in Bolivia. He worked his way in the Americas. But with the whole thing with Fidel Castro and stuff like that, my grandpa was able to... that's when they were doing tickets for Cuba. So it was almost like a lottery ticket. You get the good ticket, you get to go. And you only take one person with you.
Mm-hmm.
So he took, obviously, my dad. He obviously took my dad. That's as much as I learned. And then the one thing he hated, I know that's what my dad always told me, like, because beards were a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And beards were almost like, you know how people were like, society, clean shaven, clean this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, beards were like a sign of being a rebel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I don't want to be like that. So I'm going to grow my beard. I'm going to grow my hair. Like, it was those little signs of rebel. My grandpa never let my dad grow his beard.
Okay.
Right?
Understandable.
My grandpa never grew his beard.
No facial hair at all?
I've never seen him with facial hair.
Okay.
Never. Slightest stubble.
Was it like a full beard? Or nope. Even if you had like... No. Like, considered a rebel, was it just...
Full beard. Just...
So if you had a mustache,
right here. This would be... What I have right now...
Yeah.
The grandpa would be like... he'd be like, shave that off.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is like, if men... in that time had mustaches, were they viewed as rebels as well?
No. My grandpa,
just a full beard.
It was just like that full beard because Fidel Castro had a full beard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My grandpa in his younger days had a mustache. And it was very like military because he was in the military. So it was very like mustache were like the only thing that was like allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know if I heard you, but so your grandpa was in the military before leaving Cuba?
Yeah, he was in the military. He was in the military for Cuba.
Does Cuba have the same thing like South Korea? How they have to serve X amount of years for their country?
That I'm not sure.
Okay.
And I think I have to look into that though.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he never grew his beard.
Mm-hmm.
And like the slightest, like just stubble. That man will shave that right off.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was not a fun time for Cuba, you know. And Fidel Castro's outlived like
everyone, and we're gonna get into that.
13.
Yeah, we
Was it 13?
A while. So
he outlived Obama, or he died during Obama's.
Fidel Alejandro Castro Ruz was born on August 26, 1926 to November 25th, 2016. Like, man's was old. He was 90 years old when he died. I did not know he died like this recently. Because, like, I didn't watch the news for, like, a long time. But I digress. He was prime minister from 1959 to 1976.
That's old.
Yes. Well, that's a long time. And then he was president from 1976 to 2008. So essentially, like, as soon as he ended his prime ministry, he became president of Cuba. And then Castro became a symbol of communist revolution in Latin America. He handed over provisional power in July of 2006 because of health problems. And he relinquished his presidency in February of 2008.
Fun fact about, not fun, but fact about Fidel Castro, like, before he even started this whole revolutionary thing, he actually studied in the States and wanted and tried to be a baseball player and play for the New York Yankees.
Oh, wow. Interesting fun fact there. That. So since this movie is called Alina in Cuba, we are going to briefly talk about Alina, which is his daughter. Because it made you wonder, like, why are they making a movie about his daughter, right?
Right.
So, again, RIP to these names because I'm about to butcher them. Okay? So, her name is Alina Fernandez Revuelta. She was born on March 19th, 1956 in Cuban. She is a Cuban anti-communist activist. She is the daughter of Fidel Castro and Natalie Revuelta Cluz. She is one of the best known Cuban critics of the government of Cuba and her father and uncle's rule, where she lived until 1993.
Yeah, I was 3 years old.
Yeah, so she was basically like a side chick baby because she was made out of an affair that Fidel had with Natalie. So she was like side chick baby. Okay, so now getting into the movie.
Okay.
So the director, which is Miguel Bardem, he casted James Franco. He casted James Franco, and a lot of Latino actors and actresses were not happy about it, clearly. So James Franco's father was Portuguese from Madeira, and he is of Swedish ancestry, while his mother is Jewish. From a family of Russian Jew descendants, John Leguizamo was born in Bogota, Colombia. But according to Leguizamo, his paternal grandfather was of Puerto Rican and Italian descent, and his maternal grandfather was Lebanese. Leguizamo describes himself as being a Mary Indian and mestizo heritage.
Yeah. I mean, Leguizamo is very Italian.
Mm-hmm. I have this little tidbit in here.
Mm-hmm.
Because me and Alyssa were talking and it, like, we had our thoughts rolling about this whole James Franco, John Leguizamo thing.
Uh-huh.
The theory is that hiring Franco could have been favoritism, as the director is Spaniard.
Interesting.
Right? So the director is Spaniard, and there's a stigma that Spaniard views himself as better than other South American countries.
Oh, for sure.
And the Caribbean.
That's always been a thing.
Mm-hmm. See, I did not know that. So Spaniards view the South American countries as their colonies, that the director's family is from old money, comes from a family of actors, actresses, and born in the industry, and they are a nepotism baby, if you will.
Oh.
Do you agree? That because of the director's history, coming from old money and coming from a family of people in the industry, do you think that he showed favoritism to Franco because he's Spaniard?
Probably. I mean, I mean, when you're in the business, like, and you know, it's, I think when you're in a business like that, it's who you know. It's who you know. And unfortunately, when you know someone, right, like, you're going to get more times than not, you're going to get more in than a schmo Joe trying to work his way or her way up, you know, the Hollywood ladder.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's
a good theory.
That's a pretty solid theory, because Spaniards have always thought that. Spaniards have always been like, oh, we made you.
Yeah.
Like, we gave you Spanish. We gave you... See, I've had arguments with that with my cousin, because she's always called Spaniards the colonizers. But then it's like, in the same time, like, I'm proud to be Colombian. Mm-hmm. I'm proud to be Cuban. And I wouldn't be proud of those things...
If you didn't have the Spanish.
If I didn't
language.
Have the Spanish in. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, maybe they treated everything like everything else. They brought slaves. They did all the things that whatever. But like, how can we say we're proud of our heritage and all that if...
We're shitting on...
If we're shitting on who gave us.
Yeah.
Do you, okay. you get yeah. what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. Okay, so John blasted James on Instagram... On an Instagram post, and other Latinos responded, "What the fuck is this?" wrote actress Jess Darrow. She voiced Luisa Madrigal in Encanto in response to Leguizamo's post. Raul Castillo, in an Instagram story, was quoted saying, "I'm sorry, but what the actual fuck?" Raul played Sam in Wrath of Man.
He had a small part in that movie.
Yeah, I've never heard of him, but... Yep, so, and then Sol... Rodriguez, she was quoted saying, "Not me reading that James Franco will have to, quote, build an accent for Castro when my entire life I've been made fun of for not speaking English like an American and been told countless times to work hard to get rid of it." And Sol, she was an actress who played in Star Trek, Picard, and other, like, all the foreign movies. We were also talking about how Ana de Armas.
Oh, Ana de Armas, my yeah. crush.
Yes, your crush. You know, she is a Cuban woman playing a white actress.
So, yeah. So this was my thing. Like,
she's playing Marilyn Monroe, by the way.
Yeah. So...
Because she has a thick accent.
She does have a thick accent. And if you've seen some of her movies, like, you can hear the accent pretty clear.
And Ana is a Cuban and Spanish actress who played in War Dogs, Knives Out, and she was the most recent Bond girl.
Yeah, she was a Bond girl, and she also wasn't. You said Knives Out.
Yes.
Yeah, and War Dogs. She didn't even know.
Yeah, you said that she didn't.
She didn't even mm-hmm. know English. They had to repeat the words to her, and she just said it, and she had a feel for the scene, mm-hmm. which by means that is fucking acting. Because if you never told me that, I would say she talked pretty good English, mm-hmm. but she still had an accent.
Do you think that it's unfair that they're? Well, to my knowledge, there hasn't been any outspoken actors against a Cuban actress playing Marilyn Monroe who is white. Have you seen anything on
that? I haven't seen anything. But here's the thing, though. And it, this is what I was... Because I was talking to a friend in the past about that stuff. She posted on Facebook, like, this is a weird casting. And then I'm looking at it both ways. Like, when you think of Fidel Castro, do you really think of James Franco?
No.
On a biased opinion, like, he has to come, like, if I'm still going to watch this movie because for the sake of seeing how this plays out, he has to.
Would you want to do a review on it?
I would. And he would have to blow me out of the water with it.
Do you think that maybe Franco was casted because the curly hair?
His beard is because Fidel Castro's beard is not a full beard. It's very patchy, very like
sparse.
Mm-hmm. And so Franco's the same way. And Franco has that curly hair that when his hair grows out, it kind of goes up and it's curly. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're going by features. And who knows? Like, is he even going to talk Spanish? Is he even going to have words? And if he does, are they mouthed over? Are they dubbed over so mm-hmm. they can fake a Spanish accent? You know,
and do you think they would
are they using him just for a big name?
Yeah, but or do you think that they would have him did you just say that mouth the words and then have dub. Dubbed like yeah, have another
gonna,
voice
yeah are they gonna dub over mm-hmm. over it? I feel like there's just too much work.
Okay. And I know that you did say that there were other actors that they could have.
Yeah, there I mean there's Oscar Isaac can do it, Diego Luna can do it, Benicio del Toro can do it, but he already played Che Guevara in his like two-part movie, which is really good. Gael, mm-hmm. he can do it. Andy Garcia can do it. Mm-hmm. But my thing was also was that do these guys want to be known?
Do they want to be like, associated?
Like if it becomes a good movie, right? Are they going to be like, oh, I played Fidel Castro? Or they want to be associated to that, like for their image?
Do you think that's any different than actors who have played other big villains like Adolf Hitler?
There hasn't been, like, can you name one?
Well, there was that Adolf movie with the little kid. Like, they had a child play Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, but a child.
Still. Adolf Hitler, hearing his name isn't, you know, it's not true, a good thing. That's true, that is a
trigger. But
because, you know, that's almost as similar to Escobar. Who's going to want to play Escobar? Even though there have been movies.
The Narcos.
Yeah.
And that dude was Brazilian.
Penelope Cruz just did a movie in 2017, The Love of Pablo. So it's almost like, okay, so these actors didn't have a problem being associated with Escobar, who's just as bad.
To some people, he was an angel. But it's neither here or there.
Yeah, neither. So,
what my thing was that, like, okay, Ana de Armas, love her. Crush.
I know you do. Yeah. Suck a fart out that butt.
I would. Have you seen her? Cute. Have you seen her on Knocked?
Yes, I've seen her.
them titties.
Were they her titties, or did they?
They were
like,
her titties.
Oh, they were
her titties.
Okay. 10 out of 10 I recommend. Go watch it.
If she became a porn star, oh my god.
Your hands are gonna hurt.
Smooth as a baby.
Okay. Well.
So Anna Armas got that the blonde.
Marilyn Monroe.
The movie's called Blonde.
Oh, for real?
For Marilyn Monroe. The movie's called Blonde. It's on Netflix. Or it's going to come on Netflix. It doesn't make sense. She has a heavy accent. It doesn't make sense.
Unless they quote-unquote teach her how to have an American accent. Like, you know, Tom Holland. He can do the American,
you know, how easy
accent.
It is for Tom, for English men to do that. They've been doing that since theater school, faking that accent. So I really think John Leguizamo was on the right point. Was that they're not giving enough people. And James Franco, you see James Franco, you hear Pineapple Express, yeah. You hear... this is the end.
The interview. He's
You, I mean, he has to blow us out of the water.
Not to bring up his sexual allegations, but there's.
And that's another thing. Like, how the hell?
Maybe they're trying to fix Franco's image.
So he has to play serious roles more that consists of
to take him seriously. Maybe
you see, it's all point. And at the end of the day, it's money.
Yes, it is money. Okay, well,
but I'm with John on this. James shouldn't be. I'm still going to watch it because I just want to see how this plays out.
When I saw it, I was like, James Franco? Okay.
Yeah, I thought he got canceled.
Yeah. Who knows? Well, speaking of movies, we recently just watched a really good movie.
Yeah.
Don't worry, no spoilers, but we did watch. You should see Steven. Steven's doing all these. This is Steven, by the way. You look like a rat.
Whatever, that was my best Predator.
Yeah, so we watched Prey, and it was really good. It's the new one.
Movie.
The new one.
On Hulu.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about it?
You know what? It was good. It was really good. I would...
Because this ain't your Rotten Tomatoes. This is a ripe orange.
I give it a ripe orange.
Yeah, this ain't Rotten Tomatoes. This is
rotten orange.
A ripe orange.
Ripe orange review.
Yeah.
I give it a 9.5.
Ooh, that's a good one. Out of 10? 10 being the best?
Yeah, 10 being the best. Okay. I give it 9.5 ripe oranges. Only because there was only two things that were... I think there was like only one thing that kind of bothered me was when they talked. Because the movie was made in English, obviously.
It's basically Predator.
So
before America's.
So we have what we call a feral predator.
Dope.
So he's coming in the 1700s, where the Comanches and Europe was starting to colonize the United States.
Yep, and if you
What was the Southern Great Plains? Yes. That's where it was.
Yes. And if you didn't know, the Comanches are a Native American tribe from the Southern Plains, like Steven just said. Yeah. Of the present day United States, the Comanche people belong to the Comanche Nation, and they were once a part of the Shoshone people of the Great Bison. The Comanche Nation has 17,000 members, but around 7,000 reside in tribal jurisdiction.
The movie starts basically pretty solid.
Yes.
Honestly, like, so it was one of those Predator movies that was like, from it, the storyline had a great pace, like from beginning beginning to finish.
Oh, it keeps you like
hooked. You're engaged.
Yes.
With everything.
Yes.
So, like, this is the 1700s, and it was a nod, I think. I hate to say it, but if you watch the Predator movies, there's something that happens in the end.
You can't spoilers.
Well, it's not really much of a spoiler because it's a nod to Predator 2, I think. So, there's a gun, right? In Predator 2, what's his name? Oh my god, I already forgot.
Ooh, brain fart.
From Predator 2, Danny Glover. Danny Glover goes on the ship on Predator, and the Predator in that movie hands him a gun. And it said 1715. And it's the same gun that the main character hands over to the chief.
Mm-hmm.
So that means Predator's going to come back to that same world because basically that prey is the prequel start of Predator 1, Predator 2.
Mm-hmm. I think you might have spoiled
something. No, that's a nod. That's for my nerds.
Okay.
But anyway, the storyline is very, very engaging. Kept you going, right? And it was more than a Predator kill, like just Predator slashing. Like, if you've seen the other Predators, it's big muscle guys, explosions, and sweet kills.
Mm-hmm.
Which, bro, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. You know, but then this is the first Predator movie that really carries a storyline, and it put feeling into it. Like, you see, like, cinematography, you see, like, things that make a good movie, like soundtrack, cinematography. You had, you know, it kept you engaged where, like, the Predator, it wasn't just all about the Predator.
Yeah. I will say, so in the movie, they do touch on the Europeans encroaching on Comanche land. And the only thing that I really didn't like was you are given French subtitles, and, like, we have no idea what they were saying because it was not in English.
Well, I think they were trying to do it to where, like, you can read body language. Like, obviously.
No, man, I wanted to know what the fuck they were saying. Yeah. And so, like, the subtitles were in French. I don't speak French.
Yeah, true. And then the other thing was that why I gave it a 9.5 was that when they spoke English, like, it sounded very
American.
Very American. Like, very, very American. Like, I was just like, I want to hear, like, a accent. I want to hear, like,
Something.
But the cool thing about this film, the very, very cool thing, and I have yet to do it, and I'm probably going to do it this weekend, is to rewatch the movie. They made the movie first in English and Comanche dub. Yes. So all the natives are talking Comanche, which I preferably, and it reminds me of Apocalypto.
Yeah, well, also, that's like in, I think it was Squid Games, when they did, if you watch Squid Games in the native Korean language, what they were saying was so much more meaningful than what the English had translated.
So that's what I kind of want to see, and I wish I watched it before this podcast.
Comanche.
Yeah, because when you have your own native language, like, there's certain movies, like, in Spanish, like Guillermo del Toro's movies. Yeah, so if you see, like, Pan's Labyrinth, it is very, very, like, more meaningful and more impactful. Like, you feel the scene.
Yeah.
And the action scenes, like, the kills.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm interested to watch it in Comanche as well, just to see if it makes us feel differently. Because it's, I guess, native language. We are also going to jump into sexy time review. So we asked the listeners to give us some sexy reviews, okay? So we're going to do,
I don't know any of these. I only know one, but I don't know. There's a few of them, right?
I'm going to start backwards. We're going to see how many we can get through before, like, time runs out. Okay?
Okay. Go ahead.
So these were sexy time reviews. Anonymous. Don't know who posted it, but we know that the people who know us submitted these, so that's the only interesting part. But we don't know like who submitted who.
Sure.
Because it don't give me nothing. But I did also write like, don't put names. Okay, so who are they? A random hookup. How attractive were or are they? They rated them a 4 on a 1 to 5 average to smoking.
Okay.
They were a 4. Best physical trait, eyes. How would you rate them in bed? 3.
Ooh.
How kinky was it? 3. 1 being hella vanilla and 5 being kinky. Favorite position, what position? I don't know.
Were they just laying there?
They said what position? I got. Hey, missionary is a position. Oral skills, a 2.
I mean, okay.
Most embarrassing situation.
Okay.
The vag hair got stuck in the tooth.
He was flossing.
Or maybe she was flossing. Somebody was flossing.
Someone was flossing.
Overall experience.
They're like. Was that? That's not. That had to be them.
I don't know. Overall experience. They rated them a 1. I wish I could take it back.
I mean, look across the board. Everything was 3, 2, 3, 2, and then you still fucked.
Last question. Would you be with them again?
No.
Maybe.
What the fuck? Listen, person.
If standards.
What the fuck? Maybe that's all you can get.
Okay.
Get the fuck out of here with that shit. Flossing.
Who were they? They wrote Big Bertha.
Big Bertha?
Big Bertha. How attractive are they? A 5. Best physical trait, big titties.
Oh, so that person got them heavies.
Got them heavies. What's the other one?
The Ghibli noobs. Something like that. Something like that. Them
How would you rate noobs. Them in bed? 5. That's the best. How kinky was it? A 10.
Oh, okay. So that makes the bed 5 because the kinky outweighed the...
Yeah. Well, they said that they were great in bed because 5 is the best.
And oh, then, 5. So it's 1 through 5?
Yeah. Sorry. I thought kinky was 1 through 5. My bad. It was 10.
So good and good.
Favorite position? Balls in her jaw. Steven's mouth dropped. They wrote balls in her jaw. Balls. Sir, how small are your balls?
Balls in her jaw?
I guess he likes so his how nuts deep... sucked? Oh, maybe.
So, like, she felt he or that so glizzy, deep that the balls his were... balls were up.
Maybe.
Up her throat.
Oral, amazing. Homegirl is performing. Okay. So there's a question that says, didn't perform oral, why? They wrote, went in like a pizza buffet.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Went in like a pizza buffet?
Yeah. Okay, ready? Most embarrassing situation? When she peed. Did she pee or did she squirt?
Yeah.
Sir, do you know the difference,
I think
ma'am?
I think it's squirt. I think it meant to be squirt. Unless there was a putrid smell.
That smelled like urine.
That's straight up pee.
She's pulling R. Kelly, golden shower.
Reverse.
Overall experience of 5. Would you be with them again? No.
Wow. So kinky was good. Sex was great.
But they wouldn't be.
Oral was
yeah.
bomb, but wouldn't do it again.
Maybe because the pee. Maybe they didn't like the golden shower.
It's like those women were like, she's a 10, but she peed.
Yeah.
Never again.
Who were they? They were a random hookup.
Oh.
How attractive were they? They were 4. Best physical trait, ass. How would you rate them in bed? 3. How kinky was it? A 5. Favorite position, their eyes closed.
What?
Oral.
You can be your eyes closed at any position.
What? I don't know. Oral was a 3. Why didn't they perform oral? They said, I don't eat randoms. Most embarrassing situation. Shit in my dick. The dick was shitted.
You got his dick shit on?
He got his dick shitted on.
You got a poop stick? A fudgesicle?
Yo. Bro, did it smell? Like, was there...
There had to be a smell.
Like, what There's was it? No was way... it... Hold on. Let's unpack this right now. Unpacking. Was it like a nugget? Or was it like down there like a hot dog, like ketchup on a hot dog?
Knowing me, I feel like I would be worst case scenario. And that's just me because I nothing ever...
We don't do anal, so...
But nothing falls easy for me. So, like, it's for me in my life, it's either pretty good or shit. No pun intended. But that, I'm assuming, like, it's shit on dick.
Could if you imagine?
Saying, they're saying shit on dick.
No, this person said shitted my dick.
Shitted my dick. So just that phrase, let's unpack that phrase. Shitted my dick.
I'm assuming they did anal.
Yes, obviously. But they just... It's... Shitted is a lot. Or, the phrase shitted means a lot.
Like, oh my gosh. Because that makes me wonder. Was it actually shitted the dick? Or was it so good that they shitted themselves?
Like when she came?
I don't know.
Like everything else just opened up.
Oh no, this had to be anal because like best physical trait was ass.
Oh yeah, so then it's
had to be,
yeah,
so it's had to be anal. Okay, so the overall experience they rated as a 1, as in they wish they could take it back.
The shit on the dick.
Yeah, the shit on the dick. So okay, yeah, would you be with them again? No.
That would kill everything. You had to sanitize your dick for days.
Yeah, like could you imagine him?
You're
like,
never having
the
sex for a good while.
Yeah. Okay. I think we've got time for one more.
Okay.
One more. Who are they? My current partner.
Oh.
Current. This is a current partner. How attractive are they?
Must be love.
3.
Eek.
Current partner.
Starting off real strong.
Real strong. Let me use my
Tell me how you really feel.
Okay. Best physical trait, his height. How would you rate
so this
them
is a
in
female.
Bed? Assumingly it's a female, yeah.
He said his height.
There's men out there who like men.
Oh, yeah, true.
Okay. How would you rate them in bed? A 5.
We're allies, don't worry.
Yes, we are. We love the gays. The she's, the he's, the they's, and the gays. Yes, we do. Okay. How kinky was it? A 6. Kind of kinky. Above average kinky. Favorite position? Anal. They like swiggity swooty. They get in that booty.
But this one didn't get a shit on the dick?
There was no indication of dick shitting.
See, that's smart. They take care of themselves.
This person rated them a 5 on oral. They do oral all the time. Most embarrassing situation, 5-second rule. What do I mean?
5-second rule.
Like, are we talking about like Minuteman, 2-pump chump? Like, he only lasts 5 seconds? Like, man can't
well,
last.
No, okay, hold on. The oral's the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, 5-second rule is after the bust. Like, maybe. 5 seconds, like.
Yeah. So okay. So
and
maybe
then keep going.
Maybe they eat out the person. Well, we don't know what kind of oral they perform. Maybe they perform the oral. Oh,
5-second. What is it?
I don't know. Listener.
Drop the pussy. 5-second rule.
Listener, if you want, you can clear this up. Just email us at guillotine.submissions@gmail.com. But we won't say your name. But we have a lot of questions. Okay. Overall experience was a 5.
Okay.
Would you be with them again? Yes.
Well, obviously it's current.
Yeah. Well, anything can happen.
5-second rule.
So, yeah. So that was...
That's interesting. What's the 5-second rule? What are you dropping? What's dropping?
Listener, clear it up. Clear up. What does shitted my dick mean? Like, is... Did they...
No, shitted.
Listen, whoever submitted the shitted my dick...
Shitted? That,
yeah, but
just
I
that
know.
Phrase alone means
I
a
know,
lot.
Was this like a dollop of shit or was it like spread on there like a hot dog? Like ketchup on a hot dog?
I would have to say hot dog. I would have to say hot dog.
So what did like
Can
a
you imagine
smear?
Shit on the dick? So as he pulls
like,
out.
Like was there a smear?
As he pulls out, there's a smear. There has to be a smear. He's pulling out or whatever and it's smeared.
I don't know.
It's like Nutella on a fucking hot dog.
I don't know. I don't do anal, so I don't know about shit and dicks.
But it's just. I mean, it's common sense of just taking things out.
We need some clarification. Listener, you can totally be anonymous. Just answer our questions. But yeah, so that is today's episode. We spoke about James Franco and John Leguizamo. We paid our tribute to Leandro Lowe and his family and all of the jiu-jitsu community. We want to know what you guys think about the James Franco situation and John Leguizamo. Do you guys think that James Franco is a good choice? Like, what are your thoughts on this? And also... submit more sexy time reviews. These are getting You see, baby.
That was a good sexy time review. I didn't expect all that.
Oh, God. Yeah, let's do one more. Let's give them a
one more.
Who were they? They were a random hookup. How attract... Oh, sorry. They didn't get to do... How would you rate them in bed? A 4.
Okay.
Favorite position, missionary, and cowgirl.
Okay. Solid positions.
Good. They gave them a 1 on oral. And then I asked... Ouch. They didn't perform oral. Why? This person said, and I quote, this one's real juicy. You better buckle the fuck in.
Unbuckled.
They didn't want to perform oral because he was afraid of his teeth falling out while he was doing it because he was doing a lot of cocaine.
Cocaine crazy. Psycho, goopy, cocaine crazy. Psycho, goopy, cocaine crazy. Psycho, goopy, cocaine crazy. Makes you high, makes you high, makes you really want to go. So, system okay. Down.
Okay. And most embarrassing situation, I spotted them $100 for coke because I'll be honest, I just wanted to fuck again. He was good.
What the fuck? Wait.
$100?
It's not even coke for them. Here, I'll buy you coke. We're just going to do this again.
So, like, were you paying for sex, listener?
Yeah.
Like, how bad were his teeth that he was afraid they were going to fall out?
That's why his shit was so good. There were no teeth. There were barely any. He was getting that gum. That gum 3000. So.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I just blew all up in your ears. But, okay, so that concludes our episode 2. Oh we God. Hope you guys enjoyed. Don't forget... Please let us know what you guys think about James Franco and John Leguizamo, that whole spiel. You guys should definitely watch Prey because we are not your Rotten Tomatoes. We are your ripe-ass oranges, okay? And also, please submit your sex time reviews. Check the LinkedIn in the bio and...
Oh, and put given suggestions about the podcast, like what can be better, what
yes,
you want to hear.
Yes, feedback is greatly appreciated. We're trying to be more organized and more scripted.
And we're getting back into this business. Yes. And in the teaser, on one of my sponsors... Sacred Ground, I put Cruise 305. It's Cruise SG for the Sacred Ground. And visit Neverco. Great merch, veteran owned.
Yep, they're great. Love them.
Discount code is Cole, COL305. So check them out. And get the fuck out.
Thanks for listening.